Coming up on today's episode, the Miami Dolphins have won 4 games in a row. That's right. I'm here to break that whole thing down, let you guys know where I stand, the positives. We're going to talk about that entire game. I mean, beating the Panthers 4 in a row, that's amazing stuff. So I'm going to shed some light on that, talk about those young stars and Jalen Waddle, Javon Holland, and Jalen Phillips as they continue to roll. And then you got NFL predictions and best bets, of course. And then we shift things on over to the basketball side of things with Miami Heat basketball. A quarter of the season is now in the books. 20 games have been played. I'm going to share some teammate grades that I have. So I'm going to go down the list of all our rotational players, give them an overall grade on their performance, in my opinion, throughout the first quarter of the season. It's a lot of fun. And then we look into the week that the Miami Heat have this week, see if they can have a strong week, a couple big games, including a back-to-back this weekend against the Pacers and the Bucks. So we got a lot to talk about. All that coming up on the Miami Sports Vibes podcast. Welcome, everybody, to the Miami Sports Vibes podcast. And guess what? 4 damn wins in a row. That's right. You heard me clear. The Miami Dolphins have won 4 games in a row. This is unbelievable, honestly. I cannot believe this team has really turned things around and have us fans, including myself, believing. I told people to pump the brakes, okay? Pump the brakes when it's a win against the Texans. You know, you beat a good team in Baltimore. You beat a division team, which is the Jets. I know it's a division game. Those are always hard, but it's still the Jets, too. So right then and there, I'm telling myself, listen, I got to settle down. I can't get too excited. The big game is the game against Carolina. And you look at Carolina's record at the time, and it was 5-6. People ask me, why Carolina? I actually think the Dolphins could beat them easily. I said, listen, we have trouble with mobile quarterbacks. We have trouble with Cam Newton. We've had trouble with him before. And that Carolina Panthers defense was ranked top 4. They were ranking the top 4 before Sunday's game. So I told myself, I said, I am not going to get excited until we put things together and come up with a victory on Sunday against the Panthers. I was on my friend's podcast, Brandon, who does a phenomenal job. It's called Diving in the Deep End. You guys should definitely check it out. It does a great job. I was on there last week, and we were talking about this. And I said, this game right here, the Carolina Panthers game, you win this game, you prove to yourself, you prove to the fan base and to yourselves that we've turned things around, we've came together, we want a shot at the playoffs, and we got a shot, and we're serious. Like, we're for real. And they proved it to me. Honestly, they really did. I mean, going out there and getting a win, making it 4 in a row against a top defense like that, and the way they did it, I'm talking all 3 phases. I'm talking special teams. I'm talking defense. I'm talking offense. Offensive line did not do good. But what I'm saying is those phases, the offense, the defense, the special teams, all coming together and putting up a victory like that. Quarterback played well. Running backs played okay. I mean, damn, I was beyond impressed. I was over there just expecting like, hey, this is going to be a low scoring game. Get the job done. You get a win. I start believing because it's 4 in a row. You beat 2 good teams in between those 4 in a row. I believe already because we got, you know, Giants and Jets next. And we have a shot at being 7-7 going into Monday Night Football against the Saints. But then for you guys to come out and play that way. Listen, the belief is, it's high. It's probably too high, which is dangerous as a Dolphin fan. You guys know whenever we get too high, that's when they let us down. But hey, it's hard not to be, honestly. It really, really is. It's hard not to be excited, not to feel high hopes right now, especially with the performance that they put together Sunday. I mean, let's talk about the game. First of all, we won 33-10. This game was over from the jump. When you look at it, it's over from the jump. But obviously, us fans watching the game, we weren't comfortable until the fourth quarter, pretty much. Because, you know, that's so Dolphins. Things happen. But certainly wasn't the case. I mean, we hit the ground running right away. We were able to score off a block punt, which was awesome. So right there, special teams was getting involved. That was great to see. I mean, I was pumped up. And then right after that, we did allow a touchdown. There was a big, big completion made to DJ Moore. Xavien Howard got completely smoked on that. And then Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers were able to capitalize. Score 7 right there, tie the game up. First of all, right then and there, I absolutely love what I saw from the defense. I mean, Flores is dialing up these blitzes, and he is not afraid. He is not afraid to throw zero out there and just leave your corners man-to-man. You know, you think about that, and Xavien Howard and Byron Jones, they should hold their own, and they did. Besides that one play, Xavien Howard did get torched, but I love it. I love the fact that we're blitzing more. We're getting to the quarterback more. I mean, the defense was everywhere. I mean, we ended up with 5 sacks in the game. We're going to talk about Jalen Phillips in a bit, but just great vibes. Great vibes from the defense. This is like the defense that's starting to have fun again. This is the defense that we all fell in love with last year. That's the same type of things that we're seeing out there. But right back to the game, right after that, on the offensive side of things, they decided to get involved. And Jalen Waddle was a big, big part of it. He ended up with a touchdown from Tua. That took our lead 17-4. I'm sorry, 14-7. Then Myles Gaskin ended up with a touchdown of his own later on, made it 21-7. Then the late field goal at the end by the Carolina Panthers after a botched snap, because that center that was out there could not snap the ball for shit, ended up being 21-10 at halftime. So we gave up a field goal right before the half, and I was honestly pissed off. I was pissed off because this is what you expect. You expect that, great, you know, things are just going to go downhill from here and we're going to lose this game. I was texting my uncle and I said, hey, watch us lose this game by 3 points. And I honestly meant that. I honestly really felt that way, which is, I'm a Dolphin fan, guys. You guys are too. Like, you expect these type of things to just bite us in the ass and we lose in a heartbreaking fashion. But hey, credit to the Miami Dolphins coming out the half strong. I mean, they put together a touchdown, made the lead 27-10. And then 2 field goals later on, ended up with the final score at 33-10. But towards that whole second half, didn't give up any points to the Carolina Panthers. So the defense was getting involved. We started getting sacks. We won the turnover battle. And Tua was able to just manage the clock so, so well. I was so impressed by him. I mean, every drive, he was just taking his time and executing. That's winning football right there. Those are things that you see in a veteran. Now, this is a young quarterback at that. Come on. I mean, it's excellent stuff right there. People who don't really pay attention to that, pay attention to that. I mean, Tua is out there managing the game so, so well. And I was impressed, honestly. I mean, right out the half, 13-play drive, 80 yards, resulted in a touchdown, took 7 minutes and 24 seconds off the clock. The next drive that resulted in a field goal, 10 plays for 19 yards only, but they took up 6 minutes and 34 seconds. Then the final scoring drive where they scored a field goal, 5 minutes and 22 seconds. Dominated time of possession, especially in that second half. Those are little things right there that I love to see. I mean, we dominated time of possession throughout the whole game, 37 minutes to 22 minutes. That's winning football right there. Absolutely love to see it. But let's talk a little bit more about the stats. Tua, my man. 27 for 31, 230 yards, 1 touchdown. Great. Excellent, excellent job. Excellent pocket presence is still there. His accuracy is still there. Hitting guys in stride. You saw him and Jalen Waddle get busy real early. They were able to just carve up the defense. Jalen Waddle finished with 9 receptions for 137 yards. And guess what? Our running game was there. If you guys remember last week on my podcast, I said the X factor for our team is going to be the running game, especially Myles Gaskin. I said, you're going to have to give this guy touches. Remember, he had 20 plus against the Jets. Keep giving him touches, because when you have a running back there that's at least keeping the defense honest, that's just going to open things up for Tua and make his job so much easier. So I'm glad that even though Myles Gaskin didn't have a huge game, he had 16 carries for 49 yards, at least you're giving them the ball and you're sticking to the run. You're not willing to, you know, take it away. Like, let's say you have a negative rush, take it away. No. Stick with the damn run. Like, it's going to pay off in the long run. And think about it. How many times do we see Tua getting set up for a 3rd and 6, a 3rd and 5? I mean, that's his bread and butter. He can get you those first downs easily and just manage the clock from there. So I love that the Dolphins are sticking to what's working. Miles Gaskin did end up with 2 touchdowns as well, so not just 16 carries for 49 yards, but 2 touchdowns to go along with that. And I didn't get to talk to you guys about Philip Lindsay. I mean, because Philip Lindsay ended up coming a couple days after I dropped my podcast. So my thoughts on him, I mean, this is a young kid, okay? This guy's only, I believe, 27 years old. He's only played 4 years in the NFL. 2 of those seasons had 1,000 yards rushing. Those were in Denver, and he was a Pro Bowler at that. Then he slowed down, okay? He slowed down in Houston. He's not the same Philip Lindsay, but he's not too far off it. I mean, we're talking 2 years away from an 1,000-yard season. The talent is there, you know? So he just has to put it together. He has to get in rhythm, and this guy can absolutely help, okay? You're talking about adding another running back to the mix. That can only help us, okay? Because the mindset here is not to, you know, sign Philip Lindsay, have this guy be an 1,000-yard rusher. I mean, we're not being realistic. But when we're talking about somebody who can take the load off Miles Gaskin but can also run the ball and open it up for Tua. And not only that, the freaking kid can block. And he wants to block. I mean, if you guys saw him, he had 12 carries for 42 yards, was excellent. This guy joined midweek and was able to produce on the field on Sunday. There goes to show you. I mean, the dude is hardworking. The dude wants to block. The dude carried the ball for 12 for 42. Like, I like it. I like it, man. You're able to give us something, and I think there's going to be a big role for him going forward. I think they're going to be splitting carries with him and Gaskin, and that's fine by me. Honestly, if both of those guys can give you some good yards, why not? And I talked about the blocking, and not only he loves blocking. It's not only that he could, but he loves it. I mean, check out this clip from Philip Lindsay after the game talking about the protection about Tua.
That doesn't take talent. That all that takes is determination and effort and being able to have that dog mentality saying, I'm not going to let my quarterback get hit. And honestly, that's what it's all about. You know, in my head, how I process things, and I'm a little crazy, but how I process things is I'm protecting this man, his health and everything about it. And if I sit here and I let him go and I let him get hit, his family's watching this, my family's watching this, you know, it's a bad thing. On top of that, this is how I keep food on the table for my family. And I really take that serious. You know, that's truly who I am. And y'all get to know me a little bit more about that, but I am crazy in the head. But at the end of the day, ain't nothing gonna stop me from feeding my family.
Look at that. I mean, did you guys hear that? How the hell can you listen to that and not absolutely love the guy already? This guy hasn't even been on the team a full week, and I'm already in love with the guy. This guy wants a block for Tua. He takes passion in that. He said this is an effort thing. All these things, boxes, just check, check, check. Everything that every Dolphin fan wants to hear from a player. Check, 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 check. Philip Lindsay, love it, love it. And this is exactly what this offense needed. This offense needed somebody like that. They needed somebody in the locker room who can just get up and say these kind of things. You know, you got it in the defense. You got plenty of dogs on the defensive end. But you think about the offense. Who's our dog? We don't have it. We don't have that like Jarvis Landry type of player who's going to just say things like this, say motivational things where you can just shut up and be like, damn, he's right. Like, let's go. Let's go. Maybe Philip Lindsay could be that guy. I know it's only one game, but just a little sample size, hearing all those things can only get you excited as a Dolphin fan because I love it. I mean, how could you not? And it's not just the fan base that could fall in love with him. Even Tua. Tua has some great things to say about Philip Lindsay in his first game. And here's what Tua had to say.
Well, I think he did a great job today for us. You know, towards the ending, you know, of the game, towards the ending of the third quarter as well. You know, just coming in and not really understanding the offense, but really dialing in this week, you know, staying after practices, whether it was with me, Jacoby, or Jake, you know, trying to get the guys to stay after, run through some plays with him. I think he's a hard worker, you know, from the couple of days that I've known him. And, I mean, it shows, you know. So, you know, excited to see what the next couple of weeks can do. Next couple of weeks we can do with him, so.
I mean, there you have it. High praise from your quarterback talking about Lindsay being hardworking, staying after practice, just wanting to, you know, grasp everything in just a short time period. I mean, that's absolutely great vibes all around. I'm so excited that Philip Lindsay was able to come in and at least give you something and make his presence felt, because we need it. We need anything that can help this team. We need it. So, like I talked about, the running game was there. Tua played amazing. Gaskin did his thing. Philip Lindsay with the blocking and the running. Jaylen Waddle, like I said, 9 receptions for 137 yards and a touchdown. That kid continues to grow. I mean, we talked about these rookies these last couple of weeks on my podcast. I said Javon Holland, Jalen Phillips, and Jaylen Waddle. These guys are young superstars in the making, and they continue to just put on great performances after great performances. I mean, Jaylen Waddle, really? This is against a top defense in the league. 9 receptions for 137 yards? The dude is really starting to find this, like, niche right now, and he's just firing on all cylinders every single week, just putting up great performances after great performances. Truly amazing. Truly great to see. And even Tua has some good words to say about Jaylen Waddle and his performance. And here's what Tua had to say about Jaylen Waddle.
I'd say no. Jalen's just been in the right place at the right time. You know, there's times where he gets covered and he's still open. You know, so you take a look at one of the third downs that we had. I think it was 26. Dante Jackson covering him. I mean, that was really good coverage. Jalen still got open.
I mean, they just hear it. Hear what he's saying. Just high praise for Jaylen Waddle, how he's able to just get open even when he's covered. The dude is fast, and he's been showing it, not only this past Sunday, but throughout this whole entire winning streak. Great performances after great performance. Let's talk a little bit about the defensive end. So I talked to you guys about the offense. Obviously, you know, there's still room for improvement. This is not great. This is not an outstanding effort, because obviously the offensive line did have a couple bad plays, gave up 2 sacks, a couple botched snaps. They continue to be a mess. So far from perfect, but still a win and an inspiring win. Great performance by the offense. But like I said, talking about the defense and talking about one guy in particular, and that's Javon Holland. I mean, this kid, it's truly amazing. It's such a damn joy to watch this kid continue to develop, continue to grow, and just put together these performances just like Jaylen Waddle. I mean, Javon Holland with an interception against the Carolina Panthers, picking up right where he left off. And it's like every game, he seems to either be right by the ball, whether it's picking up a fumble, whether it's intercepting a ball, whether it's going and tracking somebody down from left to right, preventing a big play. Javon Holland is everywhere. He has a knack for just being around the ball. The dude is a ball hawk. That's what he came into the league. That was what his trait was. The dude is a ball hawk. People compared him to potentially being Ed Reed. Obviously, that's a long shot. I mean, Ed Reed is phenomenal. I don't want to go there, but he has those little traits where he's always around the ball. He's intercepting passes. He's causing fumbles. He's recovering fumbles. So Javon Holland continues to dominate. So Jaylen Waddle, Javon Holland, continuing to do big things. And guess what? During the game, I said, okay, Holland and Waddle made an impact early. I said, we got to get Phillips involved now. And my God, Jaylen Phillips said, I got you. Hold my beer. 3 fucking sacks by Jaylen Phillips. So 3 sacks by Jaylen Phillips, interception by Javon Holland, and then 9 receptions for 130 plus and a touchdown for Jaylen Waddle. My God, I'm telling you, like I said on my YouTube video, you can knock on Chris Greer for messing up this whole offensive line and not being able to find one, the Noah Igbinoghene stuff, but man, did he freaking nail the draft picks of Jaylen Phillips, Javon Holland, and Jaylen Waddle. I mean, wow. You take those 3 out of this team, there's no 4 wins in a row. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm just being realistic. There's no way in hell we're on a 4-game winning streak without those 3 guys. And those are 3 rookies that have only played what? Not even a full season. We're talking about 12 games. And we're so reliant on these 3 rookies. And I love to see it. These guys are going to be studs in the making. It's going to be so fun watching these guys grow throughout the rest of the season and throughout their entire career, hopefully as a Miami Dolphin. But great performance nonetheless. 33-10 win. four wins in a row. I'm proud. Okay. I'm proud. I'm impressed. I have hope again. And I think it's safe for every fan to have hope, because the fact that you won four wins, two against really good teams, being the Ravens and the Panthers in there, and now you got the Giants this Sunday. Then you have a bye week, and then you take on the Jets. Both of these games are at home. There's a high chance you're 7-7 going into Monday Night Football, and what a turnaround would that be? I mean, that would be six wins in a row. Wow. I mean, we got to be the favorite. So when you're the favorite, it's a little scary, but it's basically saying that hope is realistic now. Okay, it's realistic to have hope. You can start looking at things and looking ahead now. And, you know, you could get pissed now. You could get pissed that you dropped those games to the Jacksonville Jaguars, to the Raiders, to the Falcons. Because, man, if you have all those wins back, or at least two of them, huh, this team looks scary. And it's crazy. This is yet another Coach Flores run in the second half of the season where the first half just looks like complete shit. And I don't know what happens, and you just turn things around. Unbelievable, honestly. But let's stick with the positives. Let's stick riding this hot wave that we're on right now. And I'm excited. I'm freaking excited. I can't wait for the game Sunday. And I have a great vibe around this team. But this Sunday, back to the matchup, we're taking on the New York Giants. The New York Giants right now are 4-7. They are not a good football team, okay? They just beat the Philadelphia Eagles, who are now 5-7 after that loss. They won 13-7. I mean, not a good game at all. Daniel Jones had 19 completions and 30 attempts for 202 yards and a touchdown. He also ran the ball 9 times for 30 yards. Saquon Barkley, 13 carries for 40 yards. The Giants are not that good, okay? They have probably the same issues we have when it comes to offensive line. Their offensive line is terrible. They do have a dynamic running back, but that line does not give him any holes at all. So we just contained Christian McCaffrey, and that was honestly unbelievable. So the fact that you were able to hold Christian McCaffrey from having a big game against you, I don't think we're going to struggle against Saquon Barkley. I mean, McCaffrey ran it for 35 yards on 10 carries. So Saquon Barkley without a good line, I don't think we're going to have any problem at all. The one problem is maybe Daniel Jones, because he can run the ball. And I know we can't contain Cam Newton, but there's still that thing, that's still that bad feeling of the Dolphins are prone to giving up yards to a quarterback. So that's the only thing I'm watching out for. Kenny Golladay does not worry me at all. He's been banged up. Kadarius Toney's been banged up. Sterling Shepard. I mean, the Giants have had such a bad season. They're lucky to be 4-7. And we are the favorite this game. We're favored by 3 points. We are at home, so that probably has a little bit to do with it. I honestly think we take care of business. I really mean that. I really mean that. I told you guys I predicted a loss against the Ravens and we won. I predicted a loss against the Panthers and we won. So I have been keeping it real. I'm keeping it honest. And listen, this is a game we should win, and we're the hot team right now. We're coming off 4 wins in a row. We're still at home. The plan is to make this late push, and if you want to make this late push, you got to take care of business against the teams you should beat, and this is a team you should beat, okay? You've stepped up to the challenge against the Ravens and beat them. You stepped up to the challenge against the Carolina Panthers and beat them, where you're underdogs. This one, you're the favorite. Prove to everybody that you guys are serious right here. Take care of business. This is what you should do. X factors of this game remains the same for me. I'm going with the running backs. Now we got Lindsey. So it's going to be duo, okay? It's going to be Gaskin and Lindsey. Stick to what's working. Stick to what's got you here. Stick to what has us winning 4 in a row, and that's running the damn football. Don't shy away from it. Keep getting those little yards on first and second down. Set up a nice third down for Tua for him to convert. You know he's going to do his thing. Jaylen Waddle's going to be there. That's a reliable target, especially on third down, as we saw. So those are my X factors for the Dolphins on the offensive end. Run the ball. Stick to the running game. It's working, okay? It only opens it up for Tua. And on defense, who's it going to be? The same thing. I'm going with the same thing. I'm going with the collective unit of the linebacking crew. make sure you contain Saquon Barkley, help out the defensive line. They'll probably do their things on their own because that offensive line in with the Giants is just terrible. But I want the linebackers to be on their toes and prevent Daniel Jones from popping off any big runs. And other than that, I mean, you look at everything else. You got Javon Holland back there at safety. You trust him to grab anything in sight. Xavier Howard, I trust him to lock anybody up. Byron Jones as well. I mean, you pay Byron big money. So I'm not worried about anything else besides containing the run, not letting Barkley or Daniel Jones to get into a hot start running the football. And then on offense, like I talked about, running the ball. It's what got you this winning streak. It's what got you to this position now at 5-7, going against a bad New York Giants football team. Stick to what's got you here. Let's not get cute. Let's not get fancy. Just continue to develop good habits. I hope to see Jalen Waddle continue on his hot streak. Javon Holland, if he gets another interception, I might be doing backflips on Sunday, honestly, because the dude is just so fun to watch and continues to develop. But let's see how it goes, guys. This is a Victory Tuesday now, all right? This is Victory Monday. Put it in the book. It's Victory Tuesday. I think we could celebrate one more day since you're listening to this podcast. And let's see if the Dolphins keep it rolling. Fingers crossed, okay? I believe. I think it's safe for you guys to believe, too. All right, so putting the Dolphins segment behind us, but staying with the NFL, it is time for my weekly segment, and that is NFL predictions. So, last week was a bad week for me with the picks. Well, not terrible, just a weird week, okay? This past week, I went 7-7 against the spread, but 6-8 straight up. I mean, the fact that I had a better record against the spread is kind of weird. Okay, and I'm recording this right before the Monday night game, so I'm not counting the Monday night football game where I did pick Washington and I did pick Washington +1. So I picked them against the spread and straight up. So we'll see how that goes. I will tally that onto the overall record later. Afterwards, on my next podcast, you'll hear it. So, but now my record against the spread since recording this is 22-22, and my straight picks are 23-19. Kind of a weird week, honestly. I pulled up some great wins against the spread. One of them being the Detroit Lions. I took them +3.5. Also, the Las Vegas Raiders. I took them +7. The Cincinnati Bengals. I laid the 3.5. The Tampa Bay Bucks. I laid the 2.5 at the moment. And the Giants, I had them +3.5, and they came out with a win. So I did pick some pretty interesting ones. Also, the Atlanta Falcons. But just a couple just weird games, I mean, that I didn't see happening. For one, I thought that the Dallas Cowboys would definitely beat the Raiders. They didn't. So I took that loss on my straight picks. I thought the Texans would beat the Jets. I thought the Chargers would beat the Broncos. And I thought the Rams, I was really surprised at the Rams after dropping 2 in a row. I said, no way they'll lose 3 in a row. But they certainly did. And just a funky NFL week, which was, that's pretty much been the case. So nonetheless, the overall record now against the spread, 22-22. And the straight picks is 23-19. Not bad, though. I never want to see these go negative. If these records go negative, then I freaking suck and I might as well stop doing this segment. But we're not negative. We're hanging on. Let's see if we can build. And that is going into week 13, where we get things started with Thursday night football in 2 days. We're off to week 13. The Dallas Cowboys at 7-4 taking on the New Orleans Saints. Saints are 5-6. Saints are at home. Dallas is favored by 4.5 points. Dallas has lost 2 in a row. They need to get things going. I'm going to say the Dallas Cowboys win this game, and I'm going to have them lay in the 4.5. Then Sunday football starts. We're going to start right away with the New York Giants and the Miami Dolphins. I'm going to say that the Dolphins, they're favored by 3 points. I'm going to pick the Dolphins to win this game, and I'm going to say the Giants to cover the 3 points. I think Miami wins this game by probably, I think they win by 3. So this might be a push. I'm going to say the Dolphins win 24-21, but give me the Giants +3 and give me the Dolphins straight up. Next, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 8-3 taking on the 5-6 Atlanta Falcons. Tampa Bay is favored by 11 points. That is a big, big line, especially on the road against a division opponent. I'm telling you right now, I'm taking the Bucks to win, but give me the Falcons plus the 11 points against the spread. Next, the Arizona Cardinals, 9-2, taking on the 4-7 Chicago Bears. This game is in Chicago. Arizona's favored by 7 points. That is a big line as well. Wow. I'm going to say Cardinals win this game, but give me the Bears plus the 7. I mean, that's just, it's a big number. So give me Bears plus 7, but give me Cardinals straight up. Then we have the Los Angeles Chargers, who are 6-5, and you can't really get a good grasp on them. Are they a good team? Are they a decent team? They're kind of floating around there with everybody, but they're taking on the Cincinnati Bengals team, who looks great. I mean, they're 7-4, but Joe Burrow's playing awesome. I mean, the Bengals, they look really good. They're favored by 2.5. They are at home. It's going to be a great game. I mean, Herbert versus Burrow, that's must-see TV for sure. Give me the Cincinnati Bengals to win the game. And since it's 2.5, I'm going to lay the 2.5. I mean, if this was 3, I would pick Chargers. But right now, at the time I'm recording this, is what we're going with. So I'm going to lay the 2.5 there. Next, the Minnesota Vikings, 5-6, taking on the 0-10-1 Detroit Lions. Man, remember when they played each other earlier this season, I thought the Lions were going to win that game, and they probably should have. Now they're at home, but I can't trust the Lions. I mean, I trusted them on Thanksgiving. They did cover. I was not surprised that they covered. I thought they were going to play tough. I was hoping that they would win, but they just look so bad. And, you know, if you haven't watched a Lions game all year, I'm sure you watched it on Thanksgiving. They look awful, and I can't pick them. So I'm picking the Minnesota Vikings to win, and I am going to lay the 7 points here. Next, the Philadelphia Eagles, 5-7, taking on the New York Jets. This game is at MetLife Stadium. The Eagles are favored by 6.5. Give me the Eagles to win this game, but give me the Jets to cover. Jets plus 6.5. Next, the Indianapolis Colts, 6-6, picking up a tough loss against the Buccaneers. I mean, they had it. They had that game. I don't know how you blow it, a.k.a. Carson Wentz. That's the problem to me. They're taking on the division opponent, the Houston Texans, who are 2-9. This line right now is Indianapolis minus 8.5. Very big number for a division opponent. So you pretty much know where I'm going. I'm picking the Colts straight up, and I'm picking the Texans to cover the 8.5. Texans plus 8.5 for me. Next, the Washington football team taking on the Las Vegas Raiders. Raiders starting to gain a little bit of momentum here. They're favored by 2.5, though. I'm going to say the Raiders win this game, and give me Washington plus 2.5, though. Next, we're going on to this game, this is going to be a blowout probably. The Jacksonville Jaguars at 2-9, taking on the 7-4 Rams. Rams have lost 3 in a row. They need a get-right game, and they're at home. This is it. I mean, you're taking on a bad Jacksonville team. You got to get things right. Got to get things going here. I say the Rams win. Oh, my goodness. The spread is 13 points. The Rams getting 13. No, the Jaguars getting 13. Wow. I mean, a number like that, I have to take the Jaguars. Jaguars plus 13, but Rams straight up. Next, these games are always good. Always. Baltimore Ravens at 8-3, taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are 5-5-1. This game is in Pittsburgh. Baltimore is favored by 3.5. Man, I can't wait to watch this game. Give me the Ravens to beat the Steelers, but give me the Steelers plus the 3.5 here. Division game. These teams hate each other. Usually this stays within the realm of like a 7-6 or 3-point finish, something along those lines. So I feel comfortable taking the Steelers plus 3.5, but Ravens to win the game. Next, 49ers, 6-5. They're trending in the right direction. They're taking on the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle. San Francisco's favored by 2.5. Give me, San Francisco looks good right now. Give me the 49ers to win this game, but give me Seattle plus the 2.5 here. I like their chances at home, maybe to pull this off. Definitely keep it close. They should. It's a must win for Seattle, so we'll see. So give me Seattle plus 2.5, but the 49ers outright. And Sunday Night Football, another division game. Denver Broncos, 6-5, taking on the Kansas City Chiefs in KC. Broncos, with the win. they get first place, if I'm not mistaken. So this is a huge game for the Broncos on the road against a division opponent. They're going to come out firing. This game's Sunday night, primetime too. The Chiefs are favored by 10 points. 10 points against a division opponent who's 6-5. I know they beat bad teams, but it's a division opponent. And they need this game. And this is primetime football. That's a hefty line, 10 points. Give me the Chiefs to win this game. And give me the Broncos plus 10. I mean, that might be something I'll bet on. That looks like a steal right there. So Broncos plus 10 for me, but Chiefs outright. And Monday Night Football, this is going to be awesome. New England Patriots, who are red hot. They're 8-4 in first place. I cannot freaking believe it. They're taking on the Buffalo Bills, who are in second place. They're 7-4. Buffalo is favored by 3 points. Buffalo is at home. This is going to be a dandy. I cannot wait to watch this game. Give me the Bills to win this game. They're at home. I think they win. Give me the Bills, but give me the Patriots plus the 3 points. I like the Patriots getting three here. I think Buffalo probably wins this one by just a smidge. It's going to be awesome to watch. So we'll see how this goes. We'll see if I do better here overall and against the spread. This is so fun doing this. I hope you guys are enjoying the fact that I'm, you know, keeping tally of these records. I mean, this is awesome. Week 13 in the NFL. This thing is just flying by. And a couple lines that I want to share with from a betting perspective here. A lot of them I don't really like this week. Last week, I gave you guys 4 plays. I did not take them, but I said keep an eye on them. I did take a couple, but so I gave you guys Cleveland plus 4. I did take that and I lost. Obviously, they lost the game by 6, so I was close. It was a 3-point game for a while, but the Ravens got a late field goal, pushed that to 6. And then I took the Rams plus 1. I thought that was a lock. I thought there was no chance that they would lose 3 in a row, but they did. And that was an L. And then the Tennessee Titans, I said plus 5.5. They play them good, but then A.J. Brown went out. And then when you just tally A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, and Derrick Henry, I stayed away from that easily. And then the Detroit Lions, I took them plus 3.5. I liked their chances, and they lost by 2. So they covered that. And for this week, honestly, there's all these lines I don't really like. The only thing I'm possibly keeping an eye on, this might be a stay-away week for me. The only thing that's intriguing is honestly Denver plus 10 for the reasons I stated. Division game, they're coming off a win, playing prime time. I don't see them losing by more than 10, and that's about it. But let's see how this goes. Week 13 of the NFL season. I hope you guys enjoy it. All right, so let's shift things on over to Miami Heat basketball. And the Miami Heat, since I last spoke to you guys, had a pretty decent week. They went 2-1, just like I expected them to. I actually thought we were going to win the game against the Timberwolves, which we didn't. And I thought we were going to lose the game to Chicago, but we didn't. So flip-flop, but got the record right. We went 2-1 this past week. I thought it was a shaky week, to say the least, honestly. I mean, it started off with us beating the Detroit Pistons 100-92. If you guys watch that game was so sloppy to begin. I mean, it was a tough watch, honestly. It felt like I was watching the team from last year, and I was just so damn surprised. But they ended up flipping the switch. They flipped the switch in the fourth quarter and did come away with the victory. So at least they took care of business, but ugly game. But Tyler Hero was on one. I mean, he played 33 minutes, 12 of 21 shooting, ended up with 31 points and 8 rebounds off the bench. Jimmy was 4 of 13. He did not look good at all. 15 points only. Bam only with 15 points and 9 rebounds. Kyle with 15 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds. He was 1 of 6 from 3, which was a little like, you know, you don't like to see that. He had 1 assist, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, going into the fourth quarter. So you were just like, what the hell is wrong here? And then he ended up with 8 assists. I mean, the fourth quarter turnaround was insane. So 3/4 of the way, not fun. Last quarter, amazing. Fun. Heat basketball was on point in that fourth quarter, but they got the job done. And then we had a back-to-back. This back-to-back was in Minnesota. And my goodness, I told you guys about that Minnesota Timberwolves team. They look freaking good. I mean, they're a young team. They're a scrappy team. They got Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards, who I told you guys, he's been on a tear this season. And he showed out that game especially. I mean, my God, that dunk on Gabe Vincent was sick. It was ruled a charge, but my God, that kid is so freaking fun to watch. I just hate that he put on a crazy performance against us, but he ended up with 33 points, 14 rebounds, 6 assists. Crazy, 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 crazy. And Malik Beasley for them, 29 points off the bench. Could you believe that? Yeah, I believe it, because that's what happens, right? It's just a random guy off the bench that just kicks our ass. Whenever we lose a game, that's what happens. It's like, okay, look for that bench player that, you know, you don't expect to go off. Oh, there it is, 20-plus points. Yeah, definitely lost that game. So that was that. Jimmy Butler, 5-9 shooting, 16 points. Bam Adebayo was 7 of 10. He chimed in pretty well, 18 points, 5 rebounds. Duncan Robinson was 5 for 15 from 3. At least he made some, so 5 threes, 17 points. But Kyle Lowry, 1 of 4 from 3, 7 points only. Did have 6 rebounds and 5 assists. You'd like to see more, though. This is the type of game where you'd like to see Kyle get a little bit more scoring, especially on a second half of a back-to-back. We need those big guys to come out big if we want to win, and they didn't. And credit to the Timberwolves. They were scrappy, and they were way more physical. They wanted it more, and all credit to them. They got the job done. Then we had 2 days off, and we go to Chicago to face who was the second seed at the time in the Chicago Bulls, and they're a way improved team. Obviously, adding DeMar DeRozan. They got Vucevic coming back, Zach LaVine coming back. They added Derrick Jones, familiar face. They added Caruso in the offseason, and they added Lonzo Ball. And those additions have been tremendous for Chicago. I cannot stress it enough. Alex Caruso ended up with 6 of 8 shooting, 22 points off the bench. Lonzo Ball, 11 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, continuing to shoot the ball well. He had 3 three-pointers, was 3 for 11, but he's been great. And DeMar DeRozan, I mean, their big acquisition in the offseason, 11 of 19 from the field for 28 points and 7 rebounds. That's a good damn team, and that's a team that we're going to have to worry about late in the season. But we ended up getting a win. We won against them 107 to 104. Very, very fun game to watch. I absolutely enjoyed watching that one. Jimmy Butler, another slow night, to say the least. I mean, less than 20 points. He had 18 points only, was 6 of 15. Duncan Robinson, 6 of 14, was 4 for 11 from 3, 16 points. A little bit better. He is starting to find his groove a little bit. Not exactly where I would like it to be personally, but he's getting there. Gabe Vincent off the bench was 6 for 11, 4 for 8 from 3. So he stepped up big time, 20 points, 5 assists off the bench. Strus was 4 for 11, 13 points off the bench. This was no Tyler Hero in this game. So I love to see that whenever Tyler Hero misses a game, Vincent and Strus step up. And they step up and they've been doing their thing. So hats off to them. But the big guy, honestly, who gets a lot of credit in this game to me is Kyle Lowry. I mean, he finished with 7. He was 7 for 13 from the field, 3 three-pointers, 19 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds. That's the type of Kyle Lowry I expected to see. And he stepped up big time in big moments late in the game, offensively and defensively. And right now I'm recording this right before we take on the Denver Nuggets. And we're 20 games in the season and we're 13-7. Okay, we're second place at this moment in the Eastern Conference, trailing by one game to Brooklyn, who we did beat in the season, and we're a quarter of the way through. And we're a quarter of the way through, and what I told myself that I'm going to do for each and every quarter of the season, so probably after each 20-game set, I'm going to give a grade on the Miami Heat players and then the Miami Heat team as a whole. So we're going to start it off right away with Bam Adebayo. Bam Adebayo, I'm giving him a B. Okay, he has a B grade for the first quarter of the season. And the reason I say it's a B is because I honestly expect a lot from Bam. Okay, this is the year where I expect Bam Adebayo to take tremendous leaps. And I think the best is yet to come. I don't think he's really kicked off that, hey, like, this is the leap, I'm ready to go. I think there's a lot more to unlock. I think he's getting off to a semi-slow start. Obviously, I mean, he's still good. I mean, he's putting up 18 points a game, 10 rebounds a game, 3 assists. But we know Bam. We know Bam can be better, and I think he will be. So far, he's only played 17 games. B, with upside, okay? I don't want to give people A pluses and everything like that, because throughout the season, I expect growth, especially from these young guys, especially from Bam Adebayo. So I hope no one takes that too much to heart. I'm a Bam Adebayo fan. I'm a Heat fan and all. So I am not trying to throw shade in his way. I think he's going to get that up to an A, hopefully an A plus by the end of the season. But I expect more from Bam. I expect more from Bam, and I think he will certainly get there as the season rolls along. Next is Kyle Lowry. Now, Kyle Lowry, this one's tricky, okay? Because we have 13 wins, and those wins don't come without Kyle Lowry. I mean, his importance to this team is unbelievable, but it has nothing to do with the stat line. I'm giving Kyle Lowry an A. And the reason why I'm giving him an A, you're not going to see it on the stats because he's averaging 12.3 points a game, 5.0 rebounds, and 7.4 assists, shooting 41%. But it's just, you can't watch this team and say that this team isn't a better team with Kyle Lowry on the floor. I mean, what he's able to do as a floor general, offensively and defensively, and do for Jimmy's game especially, who's having an MVP season to me, that's all Kyle. I mean, Kyle sets these guys up. Kyle makes the game easier for guys like Tyler Hero, for Jimmy Butler to be himself, for Bam Adebayo, constantly pushing the ball ahead, constantly communicating, being that vocal leader offensively and defensively. Kyle Lowry gets a fucking A, and there's no hesitation at all. Anybody who disagrees, I don't know what to tell you, because if you watch the Heat team play without Kyle Lowry, this is not the same. Okay, his importance is so insane, and obviously that's why we're second seed in the Eastern Conference, and we're only going to get better from here. I mean, this team is serious. Obviously, we have a couple more losses than I would love to see in the first quarter, but nonetheless, these good vibes that you're getting from this Heat team, it starts with Kyle Lowry. He's the head of the snake, so he gets an A. Next is Jimmy Butler. My guy, Jimmy Butler. Last three games, it's been kind of shaky, okay? And the reason I say shaky is because he scored under 20 points. So Saturday night against Chicago, 18 points. Then the game against Minnesota, 16 points. The game before that, 15 points. So he was rattling off, 20 plus any given night. So he's starting to slow down just a bit. But nonetheless, we're talking about whole first quarter here, first quarter of the season. I'm giving Jimmy Butler an A as well. I mean, the dude is playing like an MVP candidate. He's averaging 23.6 points a game, 5.8 rebounds, and 5.3 assists. And you watch the games, you've seen what Jimmy Butler is on. I mean, it's crazy. He's being himself. He has that attack mindset. And I think part of that has to do with having a guy like Kyle Lowry there to be able to facilitate, to play make, and be the leader where Jimmy can just focus on scoring. And I love to see that Jimmy Butler. I mean, we've seen the 30-point performances. We've seen the triple-doubles. Jimmy Butler gets an A, and the fact that I think he's an MVP candidate, he can possibly get this up to an A+, but I love everything I've seen from Jimmy Butler so far. Next on the list is Tyler Hero. Tyler. What grade do you think I'm going to give my boy? He gets an absolute A, like a big A. He's averaging 21.8 points a game off the bench, 5.7 rebounds off the bench, 3.7 assists off the bench. The dude has been unbelievable. Unbelievable. These strides that Tyler Hero's taking, it's no surprise to me. I've called it all offseason. I've called it everywhere. Anywhere I talk to somebody, you don't trade this man. This man is going to be nice, okay? I expected him to be averaging 18 points a game off the bench, and this dude is giving me 21.8. Dude is amazing. Having a hell of a year. He went from his rookie year averaging 13.5 to his sophomore year to 15.1. And now, if he holds this up, I mean, he's averaging 21.8 at the moment. If he can just keep this going, there's no doubt in my mind he's sixth man of the year. I mean, dude is clutch. He's playmaking. He's rebounding. This Heat team, 13 wins. Huge reason is because of Tyler Hero. I mean, he is taking on it. This leap is insane. Insane, and I'm so damn proud of my boy, and I'm so proud of Heat Nation for rallying around this kid and now coming full circle and saying, I like Hero now, because all the shit that was people were talking about him was just nonsense. Unbelievable. I hated to see it, but Tyler Hero's coming back around, and he gets an A for the first quarter of the season. And next on the list is Duncan Robinson. Now, Duncan Robinson, I'm going to be a little harsh on him, okay? And I don't want people to take this the wrong way. I believe Duncan Robinson will get this grade up, and it's all about rhythm. Once he gets on that hot streak that I know is coming, this grade is going to flip. And I expect it to flip throughout the second quarter of the season. But for right now, I'm giving Duncan Robinson a C+. It is a bit harsh, don't get me wrong. But I expect Duncan Robinson to be playing way better than he is right now. I expect his shots to be falling at a more efficient clip. It's not too efficient. He has good games. He has bad games. I know that's part of an NBA season. I'm not doubting him. I'm not in the camp that wants to trade him. Okay, he's had a good couple games the last few games. Don't get me wrong. So he's on the upside. But throughout this first quarter of the season, averaging 11.2 points a game, shooting 37%. That's not what I want to see, especially when you're paying him big money. So I'm giving him a C+. Obviously, his defense has a lot to do with it as well. He's got to be better. He's got to get better. I know he wants to be better. I'm sure he's working hard. I think he will get better. But for right now, I'm just keeping it real. C+, but I think he definitely gets that up in the second quarter. Next is Dewayne Dedmon. Dewayne Dedmon, to me, he's getting a B-, okay? He's getting a B- because he's coming off the bench. He's basically playing the minutes when Bam is on the bench. And there's not really much that you expect from Dedmon. Just come in, play solid, play, get good screens, grab some rebounds, pick and roll, do your damage down low. And he gets the job done. So his upside, I mean, it's only going to be, what, a B for the minutes he gets? So B-, it's a good grade for him. I'm giving him a B- for the first quarter. Next is P.J. Tucker. P.J. Tucker is having a great season so far, to me. I mean, you're talking about a guy that you're not relying on scoring points. You're relying on this guy to play excellent defense, to be that dog, to guard a teammate's best player, to knock down your threes if you're wide open in the corner, but not too much, but maybe one three a game, maybe two. And he's just checking off all boxes. I mean, right now, he's averaging 6.8 points, 5.8 rebounds, 1.6 assists. He's shooting 52%. So shooting that over 50%, he's doing all you can ask for and more. I mean, the dude has had a couple performances where he's scoring over 10 points. And for P.J. Tucker, that's pretty good. I mean, we're talking in the first quarter of the season. He's had a game against Washington where he was 6-for-7, a game against the Pelicans where he was 6-for-7, another game against Washington where he was 5-for-6. Against the Lakers, he was big time. He had a double-double that game, 10 points and 13 boards. P.J. Tucker gets a B+, and I love it. I hope he maintains that B+, because we're not going to ask this guy to be, you know, taking a million shots a game. Just continue to do your job, and what he's doing is great. B+, love everything about P.J. Tucker. So those are my grades throughout the first quarter of the season. And that sets us up for this week. We have some interesting matchups. Right now, I'm obviously recording this right before the Nuggets game. I hope we win that game. I'm not sure if Jokic is going to be playing. I know he's been out for a couple of games. He is questionable. Whether he plays or not, I don't see anything crazy happening. I know this is the rematch since, you know, Jokic pushed Morris, but I don't think the Heat are... I think time has passed already. That if you want to do something, you can do it off the court. I don't really think anything happens on the court. So, but I know people are going to watch it. I know people are going to be excited. They're going to gas it up. We'll see what happens. But I'm going to say we win that game. And then we take on the Cleveland Cavaliers on Wednesday, who's a much better team, honestly. I mean, they're sitting at 10-10 right now. And they have an injury to Colin Sexton, but they're no easy out. So I expect them to play hard. I think that's a good game, but we should come out on top. And then Friday night. See, right here, we have an interesting set of games, Friday and Saturday, okay? We got a back-to-back, and it's on the road for both games. We're taking on the Pacers in Indiana, which is always tough. You guys know. I mean, we lost the second game of the season in Indiana. Always a tough place to play in. And then after that, we take on the Milwaukee Bucks, who we smashed that first game. So they're going to be looking for some revenge. So they might... want to punch us in the mouth. And that's our second night of a back-to-back, and we're traveling. You got some big games here this week. So I'm really excited. I'm really interested to see how the Heat are able to put together these games and hopefully come out on top in every single game. But we're going to continue to find out what this Heat team is about, especially this week. You can only get excited when you have games like this, when you have games against these top teams or teams that, you know, play us really hard, especially on the road. You see this team get tested, and I'm sure every single Heat fan out there, just like myself, believes this team has what it takes to get over the hump, to get to the NBA Finals. So these games matter. So I'm excited for them. I hope they go well, and we will certainly talk about them next week right here on the podcast. All right, so that wraps up episode 46. I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. Thank you so much for your support. I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving this past week. Enjoyed some football, enjoyed some food and time with the family. Again, I'm extremely thankful for all of you guys, for all the support and you guys taking the time to listen to me every single week. I cannot thank you enough. But guys, make it a great week. Enjoy football, enjoy basketball, whatever you guys got going on. Thank you for listening to the Miami Sports Vibes podcast with Nando Diaz.